Blog Talk Radio.
Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, we got some interesting things about music in New York City. We have a special, there's a special music school in Manhattan called Kaufman Center Special Music School. And a part of this music school is a group, a youth ensemble called Face the Music. And we're going to talk about that. What we have with us is the co-founder of the school, Jenny Undercuff Kofier. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. And her daughter, Amelia, will be talking about her performing with this group, because she plays the violin and the viola. So let's start. Hi. So do I got Jenny? Do I got you on the line?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I certainly can.
Oh, lovely.
So do I have the both of you on the line, or how's it working?
We're both sharing the same phone. We're just on speakerphone. So Amelia's
oh, okay. Okay. That's great. So what I want to do is begin this with Jenny of your telling me about the school and what made you co-found it.
Well, I actually didn't co-found Special Music School because it started back in 1996, and it was the brainchild of Vladimir Feltman, who's a Russian concert pianist, and Lydia Kontos, who's the executive director of Kaufman Center. And I believe that Vladimir had written an article for The New Yorker about the special music school system in the Soviet Union and he was kind of musing aloud about why this had never been tried in this country. And Lydia read the article, thought that it was an exciting idea, and then the two of them met and decided to make this a partnership between Kaufman Center, which is a nonprofit, and then the New York City Department of Education. So that was back in the mid 90s, and I was hired to be music director of Special Music School in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been there since then. And then I started Face the Music, which is our new music ensemble, in 2005. So that's been going for about 10 years now.
Now, is Face the music ensemble that you're talking about?
Yeah, so Face the Music started, we just do music by living composers, and it started as a kind of after-school club at Special Music School, and then it grew, and now it actually includes children from, I think, like, yeah, about 40, over 40 different schools from all over the tri-state area. And certainly a significant number of them still are from Special Music School, but it's also larger than that.
So, and the age, what's the youngest to how old?
I don't know, Amelia, who's the youngest student?
I think it's one of the symphony cellists, so I think seven.
I think that maybe there's an eight-year-old cellist. Is he seven, really?
I think Sean is seven.
I think someone has snuck in, yes. So yeah, there are some young ones, but the majority of this, I think the majority of the students are probably in middle and high school, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's all the way through. Are all the students like from city schools, and then you do it on the side? Is it this type of thing? I mean, it's not full time.
Right. It runs as an extracurricular program. So, but I definitely statistically, the majority of the students do come from the New York City school system. We also have some students who are homeschooled and some who come from private schools and some who actually come from outside of New York City, who come from Long Island and New Jersey and Connecticut. So.
Oh, okay. That's and so what's the kind of the goal of this of Face the Music? What are we looking at?
Yeah. So normally, when you study classical music as a kid, you study music that it sounds kind of silly, but you study music that was written by people who are dead. And
yes.
So. When you open it up to the question of working with people who are still alive, it just adds a whole different dimension to study, and both in terms of music that's written by grown-ups, but also music that's written by kids who are in the group as well. It's just a different process. You're working on music kind of as a like a living document. And for some students, it's the thing that kind of makes it click for them. It's motivating in a way that that is unique, I think.
So in other words, when you're putting on these concerts, I'm hearing fresh stuff. I'm not hearing, Beethoven and all that.
Right. That's exactly right. Although I always hasten to point out that some of the students in the group are the ones who also end up loving Beethoven the most. But they're coming at it from just from a different perspective because they're just being exposed to more different kinds of things at a younger age than normally has been done.
So is there a combination of like adults that are composing and then saying, well, here's a new composition, and let's have these kids play it?
Right. So I usually pick some pieces by kind of established living composers. I try to pick a few each year. So, for instance, what did we do this year? We did a big orchestra piece by Stephen Mackey, who's on the faculty at Princeton. And we did a big piece by Michael Gordon, who was one of the founders of Bang on a Can. We're doing the Philip Glass piece. And so there are a few pieces that we're doing that are by, well, more than a few, but so maybe half of what we do is music by grown-ups. And then about half of it now is music that's written by people, by students, people who are in the group.
So, in other words, when I'm going to one of these shows, I'm going to probably go, well, that's classical. I hear this, whatever, but I have no idea who composed it. I mean, is that with the, unless I'm reading to see who composed
right.
it. In other
exactly.
words,
you're,
nothing is going to be not, really familiar.
That's right. So it may all sound completely new.
Oh, okay. And have some of these, well, I was having a discussion because there's a group called Women Composers. So I was having a discussion about this in terms of when it comes to compositions, we recognize them because they've been in a movie, or a commercial, so it's what I call, I guess, semi-classical music because it's become like popular, you can recognize the certain tunes all the time.
Sure.
So, like, has any of the compositions gone far, into so that people may recognize something?
I don't know that we've gotten there yet, but I think we're not old enough as a group yet to completely get there. I think we've done, where it would really kind of hit the mainstream consciousness. The closest we got was one piece that we did got used as a background for a documentary. Conrad's String Quartet got used for a documentary. But I also think some of these young composers who are in the group who are writing things are
going to be the kinds of composers who will, you know, who will write for movies and who will write things that, you know, in some instances that people will know.
Has anybody been like taping it for a CD or anything like that, or any of the shows like being taped?
We record things for archival purposes. We've done a couple of tapings for WQXR that are like sort of professional quality tapings, but we haven't made a commercial CD yet.
Okay, are you looking to do that?
Yeah, definitely. Amelia, why are you making faces? This does sound like a lot of work. I'm getting a whole facial commentary on what I'm saying. Yeah.
Is that a positive or a negative?
I think. Oh, is it a positive? Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the in thing. That's the thing to do. Everybody, you know, makes CDs and, you know, to get it out there. But I guess,
right.
You know, I guess this will get out there because there's this whole tour you guys are doing, I understand.
You mean the one that we took to Washington, or which tour do you mean?
Well, the ones I'm particularly writing about are the two venues in Queens.
Oh, yes.
But
I don't think of that as so much as a tour, but that's because we do a lot of things in – I've been trying over the years to make sure we get to all five boroughs, and we haven't gotten to Staten Island, but we've done the other four. Yeah. We have not done Staten Island, but we've done the Bronx,
okay.
and we get to Brooklyn and Queens fairly regularly. So there's a lot of van driving that's part of Face the Music. I think the exciting thing about this concert in Queens on May 13th is that this is the first time the Kronos Quartet has ever performed in Queens. So they researched that for me to make sure that was true, but they've never performed out there. So this is their Queens.
Have you been to the Queens Museum to see the renovations?
Oh, absolutely. We've done concerts at Queens Museum, I think for the past 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, we do multiple concerts there every year.
Yeah, we do, and the renovation is fantastic. They're like,
great.
I think they're one of the best one of the best kept secrets in the city. It's just such a fantastic place.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've never been to the other place, the Church in the Gardens.
It's a beautiful little church, and they have this great chamber music series there. Do you know the neighborhood? There's a neighborhood in Forest Hills that is kind of like a Victorian neighborhood. It's Forest Hills Gardens. It's this, like,
yeah,
this
it's,
odd
it's,
little
it's,
enclave
I,
of
I,
really cool houses.
Yeah. I call it the excuse me, you can't park on my street neighborhood.
That's the neighborhood. So it's right near there. It's actually not in Forest Hills Gardens, but it's kind of on the edge of it. So it's,
oh, okay.
It's not actually that hard to get to by train, but it feels like it's in another place, another dimension. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And if you don't, and you need your GPS in that area.
A little bit, yeah. We've done a concert there before, and you weren't on that concert.
Oh, okay.
A predictable number of kids got lost en route to getting there, but
yeah. And I understand. It's like you go in and you go, how do I get out of here? How do I get out of here?
Right. Yeah. Well, Queen's geography is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. Okay. So. So when this thing is starting, when the next month, correct?
Right.
Or did you start?
We've been working with Kronos Quartet for a while, and we formed a formal partnership with them 2 years ago, but we've been doing some things with them before that, and this concert they've visited already twice this year, and we've been putting together a piece that the kids, actually kids are going to perform two pieces with them on the concert, and then the rest of the concert is pieces that were actually originally written for Kronos, but performed by the students who are in the Face the Music Quartet. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. Yes. So, Amelia, are you, so you're not part of this, are you going to be performing, Amelia?
I'm the vocalist for the quartet.
Are you going to be performing at either of the ones in Queens?
Yes, both of them.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. That's nice. And in terms of, tell me, how do you like being a student? I mean, what did you think about, when was the first time you picked up a violin or a viola? And which do you like better?
Well, I switched to the viola 3 years ago. I guess I prefer the viola because the violin, it doesn't hold as rich a sound. And for some people, they like it better. But for me, the viola holds a deeper, richer sound. And that, I think, fits me better than the sound of the violin. But I did play the violin. I did play the violin for 6 years before the viola, so.
Would you kind of compare that between, like, an oboe and an English horn?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The English horn is a tone, and it's a deeper tone, and yeah, I guess it's similar.
And you like that?
Yes. I do, very much.
I think you told me when you wanted to switch to viola that you couldn't live without having a C string. It was something like that. So you needed a lower instrument.
Yeah, I was watching a quartet. The Queens Orchestra Society is doing free concerts right now in different, well, not different areas of Queens. They're doing it all and Eric Ulrich is his district, and so they're having it all different venues within his district.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're combinations of, they're all free, and they're combinations of like either salon, they're calling salon, I guess, shows or whatever, where you're having maybe 4 to 10 people. And then some, you know, a lot larger. So the first one I had seen, there was a string quartet, and I looked at them. I went, and I looked, and I said, I can actually pick out the viola. And it's like, well, okay.
It takes, but, right. A person, you're a little bit more a person in the know if you know what the viola is. And it's,
yes.
It's a little. Usually kids switch to viola a little bit later, but you really liked the viola from a young age. So
75% of violas started out as violinists.
Well, that's because it's bigger. The viola is bigger, so you don't want to start it. Yeah,
I know,
too little.
But there are a few violas in the string quartet that started out as violas.
Really?
Michael Tree did.
Did he really? Yeah. Okay, cool.
And by the way, what part of Queens do you guys live in?
Jackson Heights.
Oh, okay. Just wondering. When they, you know, when I write the article from Jackson Heights, Queens, you know, that's how it is. what I've gotten is just is the list of performances for this season. Am I correct? And then you decide for the next season.
I think Joan sent you the list of performances for this season, right through June.
Yeah. And then you take a break, and then is that how it works?
We do, yeah. We're actually starting we're doing a small summer project this summer for 2 weeks in July, the first 2 weeks of July, up in New Hampshire, and then we're off until Labor Day.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, kids need to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah. So you guys get to travel, huh? Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a new thing this year. We took our first real out of town or first real road trip in February. Went down to Washington D.C. and chartered a bus, and that was exciting. And this is the first time we've done something in the summer, and it's in conjunction with a summer camp. There's been a summer camp. This has existed for a long time. There's a summer camp in New Hampshire, right outside of Keene, New Hampshire, that's for music composition for young people. It's called Walden. So we're going to go up for 2 weeks. There's just 8 kids who are going up and doing a project up there for a couple weeks in July, which I just think will be nice because most of the time we rehearse in a basement. Our school space is in a basement, so it'll be nice to be out in lovely New Hampshire green, you know,
nice.
Mountains. It'll be
cool.
Yes, it'll be nice to be outdoors.
Oh, good. You know,
yeah.
What I've been finding interesting is where, because the arts have been like taken away from the city schools.
Right.
There have been a lot of other things that have emerged. Because now there's a, I don't know if you're aware, this group from Berklee School of Music have paired up with New York City, and now I think it's mostly in middle schools, free instruments.
Yeah,
and the kids
that's so cool. I wasn't aware of that program specifically, but I know that there have been a couple of, I know WQXR was coordinating a free instrument program also recently, which is great. I mean, I think you're right that there's definitely been a growth in the number of extracurricular programs that have been kind of trying to address the fact that there's so few programs that are still in schools, which is really sad because it would be great. It would still be great to have those programs in schools.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I also met, do you know who Yu-Chen Ma is?
Yes, I know her, yes.
Okay. I did an article on her. I went to her house and I did this whole article on her. And I found, you know, that was really cool to find out even what she's doing, because she's got a children's orchestra.
She does.
You know.
And I think like a whole program that surrounds it, too. She's quite a, she and her husband, I think, are quite dedicated teachers.
Yeah, but it's good to know that. I've been like trying to see if the women composers, you know, if perhaps that Yu-Cheng can use some of the music from the women composers.
Sure. Now, where's the women composers? So this is, the women composers is an organization that you're involved with?
Yeah, I think it's called the New York, I know I wrote about it, but I think it's called the New York something. I think the New York, it's Google, like New York Women Composers. It's
okay.
You'll see this whole group and you'll see like who's, you know, who all these women are, you know, what they've composed. And again, it's like, you know, I did get one CD from one person.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I don't. It's good to hear that, you know, these are people that are alive and composing classical music.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and there's some wonderful New York women composers in the New York area too.
So we're going to hear all these, the concerts that we're going to hear, are they free, or they got to get tickets for each of them?
The concert on the 13th, the one that's at the Church in the Gardens, does have a ticket price, and then the one on the 10th is free. We do, at Queen's Museum, we always coordinate our, well, I mean, Queen's Museum, it's always a suggested donation anyway, but on the second Sunday of the month, they have, I think MetLife sponsors their free, like it's a family free Sunday, so nobody pays anything to come in.
Oh, okay. And Amelia, do you ever get to be concert master, because, you know, when you play the violin?
Well, the first year I joined Face of Music was my only year in Face of Music on the violin, and I was 7 that year. So
mm-hmm.
I,
probably wouldn't have been concertmaster and orchestra with high schoolers. So.
Oh, okay. But viola doesn't get to be a concertmaster, right?
Well, you can't be concertmaster as a violist. But I've been principal viola multiple times in multiple pieces in the past.
Oh, okay.
Year.
I just learned that that it's the oboe that plays the notes to tune the violin. I didn't realize that.
Usually the way they do it in orchestras is the oboe plays the A. Because the oboe's A can't get adjusted by that much, so usually it's reliable, whereas a violin or a viola's A can... the peg can slip and go way out of tune.
Right.
So the oboe tunes the concertmaster, and then the concertmaster tunes the rest of the orchestra.
Oh, okay. I played the oboe for 3 years in high school, but only in a band. So I never knew. That's why I never knew that.
Oh, okay. Because the oboe doesn't tune the band.
Yeah, because nobody tunes in a band. It's there's no stringed instrument.
Right.
True. By the way, now, so in terms of learning, do people a lot of music theory being taught?
At special music school it is. So special music school is it's a normal public school, and kids are in school from 8:30 to 3 roughly.
Right.
And the students all get, along with instrument lessons, they get 2 instrument lessons a week up through 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in high school you get 1 lesson a week. Yeah, and then music theory twice a week until 5th grade, and then in 5th grade it's 3 times a week from then on up. So, yes, they do get music theory.
And chorus. And dance.
And chorus and dance. That's true. And music history in middle school. High school. Yeah.
Does this go, like, from what time to what time then, since it's after school? When does it begin?
Oh, so Face the Music is the bulk of our activities are on Sundays, and they start, we have some string quartet activity that starts at about 12:30, and then the large groups, so the jazz band and the orchestras and the improv ensemble, they start meeting at 4:15. So I think most of the kids come between 4:15 and 7:50. Well, we actually go till 8:45.
Yeah,
so it's Sundays. And then there are a couple, the string quartets meet during the week. Some of them rehearse a number of times per week, and so they meet a bunch of times during the week, but it's after school.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, when it's after school, I'm saying, what time does it start when it's after school?
Usually the quartets, when they meet after school, it's like 4:30 to 6:30 or 5:30 to 7:30, something like that.
Oh, okay. So, I was curious because now people, if they're, because it all takes place in Manhattan, so everybody
right.
has to make their way into Manhattan from wherever.
Exactly. That's why we don't, why we wouldn't start something before 4:30, because people need to have time to get there.
Okay, so where is it exactly located? Is this like a Lincoln Center area?
Yeah, Face the Music does all of its rehearsing in the same building that the Special Music School High School is in, which is right across the street from. It's right behind Lincoln Center, so it's right across the, we're across the street from LaGuardia High School, and we're across the street from Juilliard's cafeteria. I only say that because when I went to Juilliard, I remember looking out the window of the cafeteria and staring at the high school across the street and thinking, I wonder why no one ever goes in there. And now I work on the other side of the street. So it's what used to be the Martin Luther King High School building. We're down in the basement of that building. So that's where almost all of our rehearsals happen.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So we're all like looking forward to this, and Yeah, we'll get the article out there. And in terms of people that are attending, do you find people who will attend that don't know anybody? You know, a lot of times, like, you know, with community theater kind of thing, you find everybody's relatives attending
and things like that. I think that both the May 10th and the May 13th concerts, there will probably be some people who we don't know. Queens Museum is always, I figure our audience is always a mix of parents of the students, but also people who've just come to the museum because they happen to be coming to the museum that afternoon. And
right.
if the weather's nice on May 10th, that'll be good because it means that a lot of people will come out to Flushing Meadows Park.
Oh, yeah.
we'll come into the museum. So, and then on the 13th, I believe we're going to be tapping in. That night also is the opening of the Queens New Music Festival. And I think both the Church in the Gardens and Queens New Music Festival have some audience of their own. So I think we should, and Kronos, of course, they have a nice fan base. So I think we should get a good, yeah, they definitely do. So on the 13th, I think we should definitely have some people in the audience who we don't know.
Okay. Well, I hope the publicity gets people coming in.
I hope so. Thank you so much for helping with this.
Yes, and I hope to get there to the first one.
That would be great.
I'm cool. Actually, I'm doing this live from the Fairview Nursing Home and Rehab.
Oh, cool.
Just because I'm here because of a problem that I have with my knee. So I went, well, I could still do a radio show in my room.
Oh, you're very devoted. I hope your knee's okay, though.
Well, it's getting better. I'm so glad.
Good.
I want to go home, you know.
Yeah, well,
but
you know,
anyway.
Technology.
So, all right, so it's great having you both on the show. And as I said, we'll get it out there and hope to see you.
Thanks so much. Nice to meet you, Merle.
Bye, Amelia.
Bye.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that's really cool. So we'll hopefully I'll be able to see this. To see one of the shows, at least the, I don't know, May 10th. I'm aiming for May 10th. So, well, I'm going to end this show now. So, everybody, no, now I have to find this. Really, I have my small computer here, my little laptop. It's a netbook, and I the print is okay. Let's. Let's look at that thing here. I know I usually do my commercial, but I can find click, click, click. My chickens didn't come with me, so what can I do? Where is it? Scroll down. Okay. The music, wait, it has to say music intro. No, music intro. Here we go. Okay, everybody, have a great day, evening, or whatever. Come on. Come play. I'm clicking. Okay, let's try again. I'm clicking. Either that, I'm just going to just... All right. Heck with it. Bye, everybody.